I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome, welcome back to the Trampoline Hall podcast. We were away for a couple of months, but now we are back in your podcasting machine. We are going to be producing a new episode, I think, every month going forward from here. So you won't have to wait as long as you did from the last one. We are back, back, back. I'm your host, Misha Globerman, back with the Trampoline Hall Lectures. Once again, Trampoline Hall is a lecture series that takes place in a bar. People give lectures on subjects of all kinds, with the one restriction being that they cannot lecture on subjects on which they are professionally expert. After each lecture, we take questions from the audience, and it is a podcast every month. We are back. Now let's get on to today's lecture. It may contain mature language. Frankly, I don't remember, but it may. The topic of the lecture is the worst record in outer space, and the lecturer is Sasha Chapin.
Hi, guys. So before I begin my lecture in earnest, I thought I'd ask you a question just so I know who I'm talking to. How many of you have done online dating of any form? Show of hands. Show of hands. Okay, great. So, like a lot of you, see, you know what I'm talking about when I say that setting up a profile for yourself is really challenging, right? Like, it's difficult to isolate the salient parts of your personality and advertise them to people you've never met. And it's difficult to help people through the process of discovering you for the first time because you've never done that yourself. There's a really complicated information problem at the heart of this. And humanity faced this problem in a special way in 1977. But instead of online dating, this was in outer space. We, and by we I mean NASA, the American Space Program, put, us. We put a golden record, like a gold-plated copper record, like a vinyl record, but heavier, on the Voyager probe, a probe we sent to explore distant nebulae. And it was sort of intended as an advertisement for human beings, were aliens to come across this probe. And it was designed by Carl Sagan, famous scientist, with a team of presumably smart people. And they did a terrible job. It's really stupid what they did. I'm not saying that I could have done a better job than Carl Sagan, but I probably could have, and I would have. The job they had was to sort of like isolate what's special about human beings, and advertise those elements of our personality. And if you think about it, there are a lot of things that are sort of different about human beings. I mean, there's like opposable thumbs are nice, and there's our complicated fashions, our cute little outfits, and then there's language. Language comes to mind because so much of our business on Earth is linguistic, and the infinite combinatorial properties of our language, they're really impressive. And so, as you might expect, one of the portions on the disc is a language portion. It's awful. It's comprised of 55 little greetings, 55 little blurbs along the lines of like, hello, we're from Earth, we're nice, hang out with us, be our friends, and each one is in a different language. A couple are actually in ancient languages. There's one in Sumerian and one in ancient Greek. And this is like a really strange choice because it's weird to start a conversation with somebody, especially somebody really important, by saying, hello, I'm a nice person, 55 times. And I appreciate the spirit of inclusion here. Like, they wanted to let aliens know what different people sounded like, but that's also really confusing if you think about it, because lots of languages share phonemes, similar language sounds. Like, the Portuguese word for possible, possível, is not so different from the English word weevil for weevil. And there are loan words too, like languages borrow from each other a lot. Think about samurai or schadenfreude or alter ego, right? So this part of the disc is just an abject failure. Like, aliens listening to this, if they manage to understand it, which they might not, would just come away with zero content about, like, who we are. So the next portion of the disc is the music portion. And this is good. We like music. Music is good. It's a little better, this portion. They actually put together kind of a solid playlist. There's some cool international stuff. Like, there's Pygmy initiation songs, and there's Bulgarian choral music. There are American classics like Blind Willie Johnson, Dark Was the Night, Cold Was the Ground. Great, great stuff. There's a problem, which is that there was no contemporary music included on the disc, no stuff from 1977. The newest thing they put on there was Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry, so that's 58, right? That's like 20 years old at the time of the disc's release. And Carl Sagan, to his credit, actually tried to remedy this. He wanted to put the Beatles on there. He wanted to put Here Comes the Sun on there, but he couldn't. And he couldn't because, this is true, the record label said no. They didn't want to violate copyright restrictions. They were uncomfortable with the idea of aliens hearing the Beatles for free. They wanted the aliens to come here and pay for it, like the rest of us. So the disc, like, skews really heavily towards, like, classical music, which isn't such a big problem if you think about the fact that aliens might receive the disc 1,000 years from now, we'll all be dead, music will be something entirely different. But there was some great music in 1977, there was, like, Hall & Oates, there was, like, Ethiopian jazz, like, all across the world, cool stuff was happening, and to the extent that, like, music embodies the values of its time, we really missed an opportunity to broadcast those values. So that kind of sucks. And fortunately, the third part of the disc is even worse than the first two parts, so I have more to complain about. The third portion is a sound effects portion. That's right. It's just like half an hour of random sounds, like pots clanking together and waves lapping on a shore and the sound of a dog barking. And this, again, is a bizarre choice because aliens obviously haven't had the sensual correlates of those sounds, right? They haven't had the attendant experiences. They have no associations with those sounds. Let's assume that they've had access to liquid. When they hear waves lapping on a shore, they'll think of their own thing, not like Venice Beach or the Ganges River or any of the water that we so enjoy in our lives. The sound of a dog barking, like, we like that sound because we like dogs, not because, like, free of associations, it's our favorite sound. And I think here there's been a really basic communication breakdown, which is really common. It's really a global thing that happens all the time, which is a failure to consider how the information you're broadcasting will come across to someone who hasn't had any of your experiences. I ran into this a couple of weeks ago on Facebook. You know on Facebook how, like, ending a conversation is kind of weird? Because you say goodbye, but you're not going anywhere. Like, the phone is still in your pocket. You're in the same place. Unless you really urgently need to do something, you don't have a good excuse. So, you know, when a conversation is kind of dwindling, when the interchange is becoming less frequent, I do this thing where I send people a little animation of a cat on a bicycle. Just because I think it's a neutral display of sort of pleasantry. Like, it doesn't represent anything. It just sort of, like, it's like a fortune cookie. Like, it's a nice thing that comes at the end, right? And however, this usually works really well, but this one time, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to somebody I didn't really know, and she had contacted me because she liked a piece of writing I did about some mental health stuff I've been through. She related to it, and she was telling me about her own experience, but she had basically told me the set of anecdotes she was interested in sharing, I thought, and the conversation was slowing down appropriately. And then so I sent her the picture of the cat on the bicycle, and she said, oh, I see you want to run away from the conversation. And I was mortified, but like, she was right. Like, I had never considered any real detailed semantic information about the image of the cat on the bicycle, but I had sent her a picture of a creature running away. Like a real instance of like flight in a literal sense. And so, yeah, this is a problem we run into all the time. It's really hard to cross these lacunae of information. But that was Facebook. And the Voyager Golden Record was outer space, you know, and I'm one person, and that was like 20 people at NASA. So you would think they would have considered that basic problem more closely. Which brings me to my last complaint, which is that, so let's step back for a moment and review what we have here, what we're dealing with. We put a golden record into space. It was expensive. It's a weird project. It's pretty cool, and as you can tell, I think the outcomes are pretty flawed, but like, I'd rather have a gold record in space that sucks than no golden record. Golden records are pretty cool. But what we didn't include with the record was a record player. We just didn't put one up there. We included a stylus and a cartridge and really complicated instructions about how to use them, but no player. And this is like lunacy, right? Like, it's weird that we didn't consider that maybe aliens are like us. Like, they have stuff to do, and they want intuitive communications. They want things to be easy. They want to hit a button and have their desires met. Like, we essentially handed them a light bulb and asked them to invent their own socket, which is pretty dumb. So this is really bleak, because it was a project with such potential, and it was executed so poorly. It just seems like such a parade of oversight and a lack of empathy. However, there is one thing about the project that gives me some hope, which is, if you think about relationships as a whole, as a concept, relationships tend to get good and messy and interesting after the introduction, right? After the profile, after the sales pitch, at the moment when the expectations that you've created for another person and they've created for you break down, when they're violated, when they're exceeded, when they turn out to be entirely irrelevant. And if aliens listened to this terrible piece of work and decided to come here for whatever reason, because there are very sophisticated directions to Earth on the disk based on our centrality relative to a couple of local pulsars, the aliens would find out things about us that we hadn't bothered to tell them, like weird stuff, stuff that we're not necessarily proud of, like Big Macs and hairy moles and all sorts of strange things, little quirks and idiosyncrasies, and they might come to love us or appreciate us in ways that we never could have imagined. Thank you.
Sasha Chapin, ladies and gentlemen.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Trampoline Hall Podcast. I'm Misha Goldman. Up next, the Q&A.
Are there any questions? Yes, yes, ma'am, over there.
Hi.
Hey.
What would you put on the record?
What would you put on the record, like, smart guy? She didn't say smart guy, but you know.
Yeah, that's the implication.
Yeah, yeah.
Who do I think I am? You mean like the whole thing?
Like maybe the music section.
Just for the music section.
I mean, I'm dating you, so I feel like you know the answer to this question. You just wanted me to tell these people about what I listen to. Well, I think in terms of modern pop music, I think I would include Gangnam Style. So really, because it swept the world, you know, clearly it's like universally affecting. And yeah. It says something about all of us. Probably also the first track off To Pimp a Butterfly, what Wesley's Theory. You guys know that track?
Yes.
Kendrick
Lamar.
Yeah.
This guy does. It's all that matters.
Yeah, really good track. It's really like dramatic, and it really encompasses like, you know, the tragedy of our desire for attainment, and there are multiple narrative perspectives. It's just wonderful. That's two. That's already a lot of talking. Do you want me to talk about this more? No, that's good. Yeah, Kendrick Lamar, Gangnam Style.
And is this when you were saying earlier about like, oh, like we sort of, as we get to know each other better, we reveal more about each other than we intend. Do you guys feel like this sort of characterizes your relationship pretty well? Like this conversation, would this be like a?
Sure. Yeah. She recently found out about my buried passion for heavy metal. I never like listened to heavy metal around
right.
her because I thought she wouldn't like it. And then I listened to heavy metal around her, and she didn't like it. So
she's not. She's like, yes, that's true. That is something I dislike about you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Well, we're learning a little bit about you guys. Great. Yeah. Over here. Yeah.
The film Arrival. Did you see it?
Did you see the film Arrival?
I sure did.
Did it affect the way you feel about the topic in general?
Like, yeah, did the film Arrival affect how you feel about, in general, about space discs?
No spoilers.
No spoilers. Now the guy knows that Arrival has something to do with space. He's like, damn it. And also there's a record in it.
Well, I mean, a little bit. Like, it made me think about the difficulties. It's based around some cool, like, nerdy linguistic stuff that I studied a long, long time ago. The Sapir-Whorf hypothesis, the idea that the language we speak shapes our thoughts, which turns out to be like 2% true. But it's fun. Yeah. It's not related to what I said, but Arrival, it's a fun movie. Yeah.
Okay.
No, so, I mean, I like that movie too. I'm glad we both do.
Okay. So there we go. So you sent out your space disc. And then what you guys learned was that you guys both like Arrival and linguistics. So there you go. Yes, over there.
Did anybody that worked on the original record have anything to say about it in retrospect?
Did anyone who worked on the original record have anything to say about it afterward? Like since?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they've all said really nice stuff about how they're super proud of it.
And
they
really?
Feel like it was a tremendous contribution to humanity.
Have you tried to get in touch with any of them to set them straight?
Surprisingly, no. I really should.
All right, okay. Yeah. Well, maybe now that there's a lecture and like a formal forum about it,
right.
It might give your complaint some authority. You're not just some crank. You're some guy who's spoken about it publicly.
If my judgment after this Q&A is that there's like a critical mass of opinion that needs to be represented.
Is that what you need? You need to feel like you're like the like at the forefront of like a movement about this kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, okay. I sent something brewing. Yes, back there. Yes, you do.
Is the record available for ordinary earthbound?
Right, could we buy the record? Could we buy the record ourselves? That's an excellent question for ordinary.
Well, it's really expensive because they have to bring it back from space. You can. I know what you're saying. You can listen to it on SoundCloud, I think. Yeah, NASA put it online.
Does that satisfy you? SoundCloud? You can get it on SoundCloud? Okay, yes. Yes, over there, yeah.
What was the reason for choosing a record?
Why a record as the medium as opposed to like a movie or something?
Is that just like a written document?
Or a written a book?
Yeah.
Did they only send a record? Did they not send like a map or a book or anything?
No,
they, like,
I mean the record had some stuff, some crazy stuff printed on it.
Oh yeah.
Like the directions and an image of two naked humans and just some really basic pictorial stuff. But no.
They didn't think to send a book?
No. No movies.
They didn't say that's like a book of pictures. They were like, nah.
Yeah.
No way aliens could decode that.
No. Yeah, I wasn't lying. It was a terribly executed project.
I'm starting to side with your movement. Okay, yes, over there. Yes,
do you know why it was gold?
Why was it gold?
Because it's not nice. It's shiny. I assume it's some sort of durability thing. Like, actually, this is why. I just figured it out.
Just while you were watching him.
Yeah, I mean, like, gold is really, like, a really sensitive metal. Like, you can engrave it in a really detailed way. But the problem is when gold is warm, it can, like, warp, like, rings on your fingers. But so cold in outer space, that wouldn't matter. So it's a great compromise between, like, we can carve it when it's warm, and then it'll be durable when it's cold. That's what I think.
That's right. There you go. All right. Yes, you, ma'am.
I seem to remember reading that Carl Sagan actually, like, fell in love with one of the people he was choosing the things on.
Yeah.
Carl Sagan.
He fell in love. They had a love affair over this choosing of the things on the record.
Yeah.
Do you know if that's true? And if so, what does that mean? And also, is there any mechanism for us to know if aliens found the record?
Seems like you want me to do like another election. It's a lot of.
I'm going to take that. So the first question is, there is a couple of questions in there. One of them is just, tell us more about this story that Carl Sagan fell in love with one of his co-workers on the record. Do you know if that's right?
Yeah, that's right. Anne Droyan. They had an interesting little love affair. And he like died shortly afterwards. It was a whole thing. And they briefly recorded her. They briefly recorded her brainwaves on the disc. Like, you can't tell that that's what it is, but there's a brief recording of her brainwaves as she was thinking of him, which sounds nice, but, like, brainwaves, right? Like, what are the chances that's going to amount to anything? It seems like a nice podcast detail.
Right, so it's nice for Carl Sagan and his friend.
Not so nice for aliens.
But for the aliens, it's not.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you also want to know. I'm going to go along with this because you were the first lecturer, so you can do whatever you want. But do you also want to know if there's evidence that aliens had found the disc? Was that your question? Oh, is there a way for us to know if aliens do find the disc? Is there a way for us to know?
Yeah, it's my impression that signals are still coming from the Voyager probe, and that we know like where it should be. So if it's been intercepted. Been like fiddled with Stuxnet style, so we don't know what's going on. So maybe, probably not. Probably no aliens yet.
All right. So our guess so far is that we don't have reason strong reason to suspect that a lot of aliens have listened to it. Right. Okay. Yes.
So it sort of sounds like we made this record for ourselves, so they made it for other people. Do you know anything about other scientists or NASA or whatever that have done a new effort to actually contact him?
Has anyone, so assuming that that we really just made this for ourselves and it was nonsense, which as your premise, you're like, has anyone actually even tried to do the actual thing of making a record for aliens?
Yeah.
Not a record, but sure, they're like all over the world. They're SETI projects, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. There are all sorts of very sophisticated receivers sending out all those different stuff. Generally, music, not that I know of. I think we gave up after that. We were like, that was an awful experience.
It is a crazy idea when you think about like the actual SETI stuff, like the idea that, like so many things, like the idea that like, oh, what you're going to do is make one copy of this record and just send it out.
Yeah.
And like be like, oh, that's like, we could do radio broadcasts. No. What we need is one record in the entire vastness of space. We need one object that's this big.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's true. Space is, it's big, space.
telling us that is in fact the thing that Carl Sagan is most famous for.
Yeah.
That's the thing that he told us, so he should have known that space was big.
Oh, right, like billions and billions.
That was his catchphrase. Did you also say that they had a stylus and a cartridge?
A stylus and a cartridge.
That's so weird.
But no player.
They were like, that's what they're going to need. Yeah. They were picturing like these space aliens who had a record player.
Yeah.
But we're like, you know, we've been building these things for thousands of years. Yeah. But the no music comes out and we don't know why.
Yeah.
They're like, oh.
Well, here, I think I thought about this a lot. And I think the rationale was that like a complicated piece of machinery isn't as durable as just a record. But it seems insane to me because like, even if that's true, like it's easier to fix a broken radio than invent a radio. Right? Like,
right.
They probably
send them a turntable and like something goes wrong. Yeah. Just let them build the whole thing. Yeah.
Like if they found the probe and they'd taken it apart, like they would have seen examples of circuitry. So you see a record player and it's like it's not a complicated machine.
Yeah. It's very, at first I was like, oh, he's just, you know, whatever. He just hates Carl Sagan for some reason. But I'm like, no, it's true. It's a very terrible idea. Yes, you man. How much did this whole project cost the taxpayer? She didn't actually mention the taxpayer, but I'm going to throw that in there to give it an extra twist of anger. How much did it cost the taxpayer?
Part of the financial calamity that we now know about.
Yeah, that's right. The whole reason that Katie's lecture happened.
Yeah. I don't know that, unfortunately. I mean, like, rough math, like, what does it cost to press a record? Like, some thousands of dollars. Gold is expensive. Let's say 20 grand. Salary for like 10 people for a year to do that. It's about like $1 million. So, and then like all the research. I'm gonna say like $1.5 million.
All right. Does that seem like you're like nodding? You're like, yeah, that seems about worth it. Okay. All right, good. Yes. Anything else? Yes, over there. Yes.
There are some theories about, like, in thinking about whether we should try to communicate with aliens, there's big fears about, like, what if they're predatory?
Yeah.
Do you have that fear that aliens would be predatory if we got in contact with them?
Right, so do you think it might... So one idea is like, oh, it's just stupid to send out messages to aliens saying, hey, here we are, we're over here, because they'll come and destroy us, because they're space aliens.
Yeah.
Do you worry about that?
I mean, not really. Like, based on the record of terrible human things that we have, I think, powerful human organizations tend to be bellicose but not actively malicious all the time. Like, they pursue their self-interest to the exclusion of other people's interests, but they don't just seek to undermine everyone indiscriminately, usually. And I mean, I think if aliens are like powerful enough to find this, interpret it, and, you know, come and look for us, like, probably they found Earth-like planets before, probably they have a lot of resources, and just like an Earth of resources probably isn't going to mean much to them, I think. You know, it's like anthropologists finding a tiny island. Like, they would think we're like kind of cute and stunted and
right. And nothing bad has ever happened to a tiny island when the West found it. It's always worked out okay for them.
Totally.
So this would be similarly fine.
Yeah. For us. Australia was great. Yeah. Mauritius, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so there we go. So yeah. All right, so but you're not worried, I guess, because you figure they would have found us, or they're not going to care, or they're not going to.
Yeah, I mean, I just think they'd be like orders of magnitude more advanced, you know, like colonialism, like if they wanted like spices and like rubber and stuff, and like
right.
It seems like if it'd been from world to world and through space, like I can't really think
like
of
what
anything.
Would we have.
Yeah,
it would be weird if it actually was just spices and rubber. Like, if yeah. Exactly. Like, holy shit, this planet just got it's just covered in spice.
Yeah. Like, nutmeg is so amazing to them.
Yeah, they're like, we have cinnamon, but
nutmeg. No nutmeg. Yeah. Classic Starbucks issue. Yeah.
So you just don't think that there's anything they would have that they would want?
Like, personally?
Yeah. Like, you don't think there's something that, like, the space aliens would be like, oh, that's cool, they have
well,
that?
Nothing they'd need to, like, take us from us by force, I would think.
Yeah.
Maybe. Right. Okay. What's weird? What do we have? I don't know. Some stuff.
Yeah, I guess we don't know what they have. Like, we don't know what their planet is like, I guess.
Yeah,
it's hard to
know
what they...
We don't know how advanced our advancement is in different areas. Yeah.
For sure. All right. Well, this is that. I mean, we really worked that between you and me. Yeah. We really made some progress on that question. yeah, back there, yeah.
Do you have any insight into, like, how they decided what sounds to include over others? Like, why a dog...
Do you have any insight into how they decided what sound effects to include?
No insights whatsoever. Like, it seems like the... Yeah, I know, good talk, right? It seems like the result of a completely arbitrary process to me. If you sense any logic behind it and you were hoping I'd agree with you, like, what do you think?
Well, what do you know? There's sound effects and the brainwave... There's a dog barking and the brainwaves of someone, a woman falling in love and waves lapping. That's what we know so far.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just like... When I was asking the question, I was thinking, like, why would I include, like, certain animals over others?
Right, which animals would you include? That would stress you out, maybe? You'd be like, oh, I don't want to express favoritism. I don't want the cats to feel bad or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think, actually, that the impulse that should have gone into the music section to sort of display a smattering of averages of human life actually went into the sound effects section. Like, they wanted, like, water and dogs and their pots clanking together and, like, humans kissing. So if you think about that, it's, like, love and food and pets and, like, broad areas of interest. The only problem is there's no way for the sounds alone to convey that. So it's all a bit ridiculous. But maybe that, like, just sort of boilerplate life sounds. No particular domain of interest.
What made you think of this as, like, a thing to talk about? What made this be, why were you, like, why was this the disc? Like, I was thinking about that when you were at the beginning. Like, oh, like, we all have these ways that, like, yeah. These, what are the initial things we do to make an impression on people? And one way, one context you gave for that is online dating. But in a way, like, a trampoline hall lecture is that, too. Yeah. You're like, it's like Carl's,
I'm
like...
dating everyone.
Yeah, you're basically, we are all dating Sasha now. And it's going well. But, like, yeah, what made this be... we think we're having a good time. What made you think that this was, like, the disc you wanted to send out?
Well, Sheila Hetty asked me to do a trampoline hall lecture 5 years ago.
Right.
I was going to do it on this topic, and then I backed out. I was too afraid.
Right.
So it just sort of... but what, 5 years ago?
Sorry?
Yeah, like, what, 5 years ago?
What? No, I know what 5 years ago. Yeah. I mean, 2017, 16, 15.
Yeah.
I mean, it's those 5 years. There's no other 5 years it could be. No, I guess, well, okay, now the thing I'm curious about. I mean, so one question is, like, why was it a choice? The choice, well, I chose it now because it was my choice 5 years ago, just raises the question, well, why was it your choice 5 years ago? It doesn't.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I know more about my fear 5 years ago than I do about my intellectual interest. Like, could have been just, like, Wikipedia that day. Like,
right. Sure. So maybe the question then is, like, what was it? What makes you less afraid of it now than you were 5 years ago?
You know, growing older, knowing that this doesn't matter as much as I thought it mattered.
No, it's fair. Right.
Yeah, like I thought it was, like, impressing a room of, like, 40-ish people seemed like really, like, life and death.
40-ish?
70? How many people are here?
Like, hundreds of
Should
people
we count?
No, okay,
count
now, go on, go on.
Yeah.
It seemed life and death to, like, impress this room of people.
Yeah, and especially because, like, I'm a journalist, and, like, I get nice emails and, like, threads full of people on the internet who hate me. It really dulls the nerve endings in kind of a nice way.
I see. So 5 years of journalism, you're like, oh, like, now it doesn't matter. Like, you're in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, you're less sensitive. So at the time, the stakes felt a lot higher, and now it feels like more kind of like.
Yeah, I mean, if these people all hated me, like, you know, they're joining hundreds of people, and it's just like, all gonna average out, and it's gonna be fine. Yeah.
Whoa, so that's interesting. So specifically, it's maturing in general, but specifically, it's actually the experience of journalism and putting yourself in the world and taking the kind of whatever the negative reactions that you get from journalism.
Yeah. And also, I was I had a mediocre singer songwriter career for a couple of years, and that'll really inure you to criticism and embarrassment.
So getting up in front of would you perform live? Would you
Performing
get up in front of people
live.
And you would sing and it would, like, go so-so?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Like, there were, like, 12 people who liked my music a lot and, like, 100 people who thought it was okay, and then the cold universe beyond.
Everyone else. All right,
yeah.
Okay.
So into which was shot.
So you've had a few experiences now where you're like, oh, this will be nothing. I could go up talking about the space record or whatever.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, cool. All right. Yes, you ma'am.
This is a comment, so I apologize in advance. But I just see a parallel between what you just said and your topics. So 12 people who really liked your music and this record, 100 people who thought it was okay, and everyone else. Maybe that's why you picked the
topic. Wait, so you think the space record is like Sasha's music? Is that right? So there were like 12 people who liked Sasha's music, and the people who liked the space record were like the scientists? And then the record went into the universe and no one cared? Is that right? Is that the parallel?
Music, so I don't know, but
yeah. I mean, I want to say, like, how could you? But yeah, you know, that's a parallel that one could draw as you have. Didn't think of it until now, but.
All right, over here, thank you.
Back to the record, were there instructions as to how fast to move the
needle. Were there instructions as to how fast to move the needle?
Yeah, so I mentioned, I mean, I think I went overtime, so I didn't want to go in. Carl, did I go overtime?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I went overtime, so. So I didn't want to, explain it in too much detail. But now that I've been invited to consume vast amounts of time, it was encoded in binary sequence based on the rate of disintegration of hydrogen atoms, because they thought that would be a universal constant. And no record player. Yeah.
Does that answer your question? All right, well, maybe we'll wrap up on that useful tidbit. Ladies and gentlemen, Sasha Chapin, ladies and gentlemen.
Trampling Hall was created in Toronto in the 21st century by Sheila Hedy and is hosted by me. This episode's lecture was chosen by Carl Wilson. The podcast is produced by Josh Block. Our theme music was composed by Matt Smith. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can also find us on Twitter and on Facebook. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can help us out by leaving a rating or review on iTunes. It really helps us out a lot. I am Misha Globerman. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners, so there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.